Well, Paddy O'Flynn was coming through customs at the airport carrying a large bottle. "What have you there?" asked the suspicious officer. "'Tis holy water from Lourdes. I'm bringing it back home with me," said Paddy. The officer took the bottle and tried some. "Why, it's Irish whiskey," he spluttered. "Glory be to God," said Paddy. "He did it again." Well, in today's gospel, Jesus changes water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana. If you have your missalettes, take a look at this passage from St. John's gospel. It's just a beautiful miracle, the first miracle that the Lord worked. There's so many great details in today's gospel that we can apply to our daily life. It says there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. Cana is just 4 miles from Nazareth, where the Blessed Mother was from. That's why the Blessed Mother was friends with this young couple and perhaps the couple's family and parents. And she was invited to the wedding, it says. Now, these wedding feasts would usually last, sometimes 7 days. That's how long the feast, the reception, would last for 7 days. So people could come in, all the friends and relatives could travel in. And so it says the Blessed Mother was invited to the wedding. It does not mention Saint Joseph. Most likely he had already passed away sometime between when Jesus was 13 and 30. So Joseph was deceased by this time, it seems. And so Mary was there, and the scripture indicates that because Mary was invited, they said, well, bring Jesus and all his disciples. So Jesus shows up with these 12 tough and rough fishermen, and the very next thing it says, the wine ran out, okay? And Bishop Sheen says, you have to see that connection. The apostles show up and the wine runs out, okay? Scripture is very clear about that. Blessed Mother probably felt bad because she was sort of responsible for bringing Jesus and all his disciples. And so she knows that there is a need. And the Blessed Mother is always working behind the scenes. The Blessed Mother is always there as a good Jewish mother to be there to make sure things go well. And so the young couple probably had no clue that the wine had run out. They were celebrating with everyone. The Blessed Mother realized their need before they did. And of course, to run out of wine was a disaster. Imagine you have people traveling and they're going to be celebrating for 7 days and the wine runs out. It's tough enough to run out, let's say, at an Italian wedding or an Irish wedding, but a Jewish wedding was worse because, again, it was such a celebration. And this couple would be embarrassed for the rest of their life. Oh, that was the couple that couldn't supply enough wine for their guests. It would have been a terrible disaster and embarrassment that this couple would have to live with for years. So what does the Blessed Mother do? She intercedes. She goes to Jesus, and she doesn't tell the Lord what to do. She just presents him with the situation, with the problem, and says, they have no wine. They have no wine. The Lord's response is very interesting. He calls her woman. Now, in modern language, it doesn't sound very polite, but it was a respectable title, like calling someone lady. It was a respectable title. But the fathers of the church see in him calling her woman this whole theme that runs throughout the entire Bible. In the book of Genesis, God told Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and her seed, who is Jesus, would crush the head of the serpent. So the woman of Genesis was the new Eve, who would be the Blessed Mother. At the foot of the cross, we see these words appear written behind me, woman, behold your son. And then in the book of Revelation, we see Mary is called the woman clothed with the sun, on her head a crown of 12 stars. So the whole theme of woman runs from Genesis through Revelation. So he says, woman, referring to her as the new Eve, how does your concern affect me? That's a poor translation. The actual Greek says, what to me and to thee? So how does it affect you and me? What to me and to thee? He says, my hour has not yet come. What is his hour? His hour is referring to the revelation of his divinity, his first miracle, the manifestation of his glory, the beginning of his public life. My hour has not yet come. Remember, 20 years before, Jesus had begun his public ministry in the temple, preaching to the scholars of the law in the temple. And Mary said, "Where have you been? Your father and I have been searching for you." He said, "Did you not know I must be about my father's business?" He was going to start his public ministry there. But the Blessed Mother apparently said, "Come on home back to Nazareth." And Jesus obeyed his mother for these 20 years. And even now, he was not planning on starting his public ministry until she gave the okay, until she gave the stamp of approval. And so he says, "My hour has not yet come." So he was not planning even here in working his first miracle. But the Blessed Mother knows it is time. And she goes to the servants, and all she says is, "Do whatever he tells you." He doesn't say that the Lord is going to work a miracle, but she is just telling them, "Do whatever he tells you." Isn't it interesting that these are the last recorded words of the Blessed Mother in the Bible? The words that we should always remember her by: "Do whatever he tells you." That's the Blessed Mother's whole role, is to get us to do whatever Jesus wants us to do. And so the Lord decides, because of Mary's intercession and Mary's request, because he cannot refuse his mother, decides to work his first miracle. So he looks over at the entranceway and he sees these six large stone jars that were used for foot washing and hand washing. And he says to the servants, "Fill them up all the way." And so out of obedience, notice their obedience, they filled them to the brim. So now we have 180 gallons of water in these six large jars. Again, this was used for hand washing and foot washing when people came in from journeys. So they filled them to the brim, and then Jesus tells them something that must have terrified them. "Take a scoop and give it to the head waiter," okay, of this dirty water. They could have lost their jobs, right? Imagine going up to the sommelier and say, "Taste this." And it turns out to be a dirty foot washing water, okay? And so they obeyed. They could have lost their jobs. And they take a scoop of this and they take it to the sommelier, to the head waiter, to the maitre d', and he tastes it and he can't believe it. The best wine he's ever had, the best wine he's ever tasted. And so he's so excited that he has to go to the bridegroom. He calls the groom over. He says, "Where did you get this?" Normally at all the other weddings that I've been in charge of, they serve the best first. After people lose their sensitivity to good wine, get out the cheap stuff, right? Bring out the cheap stuff now. They won't be able to tell. "And yet you have saved the best wine until now." Again, see, the water represents the Old Testament. The wine represents the New Testament. That grace now replaces the law. And we now have the presence of the Messiah. It was predicted in Isaiah the Messiah would bring in abundance of food and drink and festivity and celebration. And now Jesus brings that. So he reveals his divinity. It says he revealed his glory and his disciples began to believe in him. So what lessons can we draw from today's gospel? The first lesson, Jesus was a great person to invite to a party, okay? Isn't that true? Because when you ran out of something, he could multiply the loaves and the fish. He could change water into wine. He was a great person to have around. Okay, he attended a wedding feast. And the fathers of the church say that when Jesus attended the wedding, he elevated marriage to a sacrament. It's no longer just a natural bond. It is now something not just good, but something holy. Not something just good, but something sacred. It is now a sacrament. So he changed water into wine. He elevated marriage from a natural good to a holy sacrament. We also see that the Lord showed his power over nature by changing water into wine. And this would lay the foundation for when he would change bread and wine into his body and blood. So again, we see this preparation for a greater miracle, which we call the Holy Eucharist. So he revealed his divinity by changing water into wine. And then the last two thoughts would be, we see Mary's intercessory power, that Mary is an intercessor. She prays on our behalf. She knew the needs of the young couple before they did. Mary knows our needs even before we do. And maybe you're running out of something. You know, the young couple ran out of wine. Maybe you're running out of patience with the children. You need more patience. Ask the Blessed Mother to intercede with her divine Son to give you more patience. Maybe you're running out of faith. Maybe your faith has been weakened. Maybe you're running out of hope, falling into discouragement or despair. Maybe you're running out of love or charity. Maybe you're running out of money. Maybe you're running out of maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're running out of good health. Whatever it might be, whatever you're running out of, Jesus can work the miracle through our Blessed Mother's intercession. So Our Lady is the intercessor, and she is a good mother. She loves us. She wants the best for us, spiritually, of course. And St. Alphonsus Liguori said that if you took the love of all mothers and combined them, it would not equal the love of the Blessed Mother for each one of her children, for each one of us. And lastly, the best thing we can learn from this gospel is that Jesus is the answer to all life's difficulties, to all life's problems. The Lord is there. And if he wishes, he, of course, can work great miracles in our life if it's for our good. Through Our Lady's intercession, he was not planning on working this miracle, it seems, but Mary requested it. So Jesus is the answer. He is the miracle worker. He's the one who can do great things in our life. But we should, of course, go to Jesus with and through the Blessed Mother. Can you go to Jesus directly? Of course. We do that all the time. But why not go to Jesus with Mary as our prayer partner, as our intercessor? It certainly worked for this young couple today, and it can certainly work in our lives as well. So when you find yourself running out of whatever you're running out of, go to Jesus. He is the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He is God. He's the miracle worker. Well, let's go to Jesus with and through his Blessed Mother.